Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Unlike a lot of radio and TV personalities, David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation, only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. And now, brace yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, here comes the unfiltered truth about money, investing, and retirement planning from a man who will give it to you straight. No bias and no spin. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. I have a very, very, very special treat for you today. There, how's that? Because I always say my guests are special, but you're going to love this. Jackie Dunn is on the line with me. She is an author and a currency expert. All the talk about money and printing money and alternative currencies and all that jazz, I wanted to get an expert on board. And so, of course, Ellen in my office does all of my booking and scheduling, and she found a wonderful guest in Jackie Dunn. Her book is Rethinking Money: How New Currencies Turn Scarcity into Prosperity. And I am so lucky she already sent me a copy. So thank you and welcome to the program, Jackie.
Oh, I'm delighted to join you and your listeners this afternoon.
Well, it's wonderful to have you. And the book is available on Amazon.com. I've already gone to see that that's true, and it is, and it's there. And so quick bio background on Jackie, and I'll ask her to augment my brief introduction. She's an award-winning journalist from Ireland, founder, CEO of, is it Danew?
Danew Resources,
an emerging leader in helping entrepreneurs develop technologies and initiatives that restore the Earth's equilibrium globally. Lord knows we need that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, and you sit on the board of and you're advisor of several U.S. international companies. I hope to do that someday. That would be cool. And she does a lot of really interesting work. Why don't you help us understand a little bit about what that means to us in plain English and what you do kind of on a day-to-day basis, and then we'll get into our subject.
Well, I'm fascinated by new technologies and solutions, and I think what really gets me jazzed in the morning, why I sort of spring out of bed for my cup of coffee in the morning, is that there are solutions for everything that plagues us on this earth, all over the world, and it's just a matter of just linking everybody up together.
My self-appointed job was to link
everybody up together so we can all join forces and link arms and help one another and really put into place real-world grounded solutions for everything from how do we clean up water, how do we address climate change, how do we address issues of food, I mean, you name it. And it's all there. It is so exciting.
So there's hope.
Oh, it's beyond hope.
Because, you know, so much of what we hear on the radio and television and in print media and on the internet, of course, other folks that might talk to us, is there's so much negativity.
I know, and I'm not saying there aren't some terrible things happening in the world.
You know,
at the moment, you know, most of Colorado is burning, which is just down the street from me, well, figuratively speaking. You know, there's a lot of problems in the world. However, there are a lot of people that are working to overcome these problems. And that's where I choose to put my focus. It's not that the other stuff is not happening, but I think we've really got to start looking at some outcomes and making some very informed decisions on how we want to shape the world, not only for ourselves, but also for our children. And we're at a very critical juncture.
Well, Jackie, that's inspiring. And I'm going to enlist your help right away because, you know, I'm a financial planner. We talked before we started the show, and I meet with the people every day and help them try to figure out what to do with their money.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm referring to money, it's usually U.S. dollars that are invested in something. So I have people, though, that I meet with that some of them are pretty bummed out about our current state of affairs with our finances and the economy. And of course, principally weighing on a lot of people is over $16 trillion of U.S. debt. Can you, and I'm putting you on a spot, and I didn't prep you for this, but I'm very curious to, I'd like to, some of that enthusiasm or optimism, people, I want to help them think that this, it's not inexorable, that it's, that there's some way that we can get out of the debt, and is it by maybe embracing some of these new technologies and new currencies, or I mean, is there a way to work with our current system without saying, okay, we're going to, sorry guys, we're going to just start over. help me help them, right? Help me help them.
Yes. Well, yeah, the big resounding yes, there is not only hope, but there are some very, very practical ways to move forward. And, you know, I think where we need to start the conversation here is, what is money?
Mm.
You know, and money is, we all think, you know, it's the, you know, the dollar bills in our billfold. What money is an agreement within a community to use something standardized as a means of exchange. And when you think about our history, you know, so many things have been used as money. During colonial times, they used tobacco leaves. You know, we've known stories about shells being used, rocks being used, you know, bottle tops being used. It's whatever
everybody
agrees on.
Okay.
So once you actually understand that it resides in the space of an agreement.
It's a standardized form of bartering, really.
No. I need to correct something, and you make a very, very common error, and, you know, it's very, very common, so please don't feel badly about
it. Okay.
Barter is when we don't use a currency to...
In between. Okay.
Like, I will come over and cut your grass if you give me, you know, half a dozen bottles of beer of that beer you just brewed, for example. That's a barter situation.
So it's an intermediary.
Yeah. So, okay. But say if you hate my gardening... Which, please, you will hate my garden, David. You know, we can't do that deal. So in order to get your home-brewed beer, I need to pay you something because I cannot give you a service that would work for you in terms of my gardening skills. So that's why money was invented. It facilitates exchange.
That's where the velocity comes in.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, the velocity depends on what kind of currency you're using.
Okay.
That's a whole other
That would be 2 hours and 60 minutes.
It would be. So basically, people understand that barter is, you know, I'll bring over an apple pie and you'll give me, you know, some beer that you brewed. You know, we have an exchange. But what happens when we don't have something that we can exchange? We need to involve third parties, and that gets really... really, you know, difficult and expensive, so that's why money was created.
Okay.
So, knowing that money resides in the space of an agreement, communities, and a community can be defined in many, many different ways. It could be a geographical community, it could be a retirement community, it could be a business community, it could be an entire state, however you want to define a community, they come together and they look within their constituency and say, what are our unused resources? And what are our unmet needs? And they design a currency to link the two. So let me give you an example of that. One of my favorite stories actually is from Brazil. And there's a city in Brazil called Curitiba. And the mayor at the time, this is going back 20, 25 years ago, had literally no money in the coffers. And a huge problem of garbage in the favelas. Favelas are sort of the shanty towns that are grown up with people coming in from the country into the city. Horrible garbage problem, disease, all kinds of issues. So he said, what am I going to do? No money. So he realized that he had a bus service that was running at not full capacity. So he sent out a decree to the favelas for everybody who brought in a bag of sorted garbage between paper and glass and tin, they would get a token to ride on the buses. So lo and behold, in a matter of weeks, the favelas were picked clean of all the garbage.
Wow.
It was sorted and put into different colored vats or bins so it could be taken away and sold or whatever had to happen. And people started using the bus services, an unused resource. Then the local farmers selling local produce started to accept in payment for vegetables and fruits that were grown locally these bus tokens.
Oh, boy.
So essentially, that became a currency. And even more excitedly, the fishermen that go out into the bay on days when the fish are not biting, they actually trawl for garbage.
How funny is that? Wow.
And they can actually exchange that for these bus tokens, which is a form of money.
Amazing.
Absolutely amazing.
Jackie, let's do this. This is fascinating, and I want to take a quick break. Jackie Dunn is with us, author, currency expert. The book, Rethinking Money, How New Currencies Turn Scarcity into Prosperity, and she just gave us a great example. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
And we are back. Jackie Dunn is my guest, author, currency expert. The book, Rethinking Money, How New Currencies Turn Scarcity into Prosperity. And there's so much to get to, Jackie, but I have to ask you before we let time get away. We're talking about currencies and this adoption of agreed upon medium or intermediary for exchanges. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, of course, that's been in the news of late, and I think you can help us understand a little bit more about it, is this phenomenon or concept or attempt in this direction is Bitcoin.
Yes.
So for those of us that don't know as much about what that really is, try to give it to us in English of what is Bitcoin and is it working? Is it not? Is it going to succeed? Is it kind of like a test run and maybe there'll be other things that come out that learn from their mistakes or is it going to be wonderful?
It's a very exciting time in terms of currencies and Bitcoin, just to explain to the listeners what Bitcoin is, it is a peer-to-peer currency that is digital form that is on the internet or is done digitally. And it is, only a couple of years old and is actually backed by mined data. There's an algorithm that, as you allow your computer to mine data, you get bitcoins for being part of that process.
Okay, you put your computer to use using its processing speed to do some project for somebody?
Yeah,
okay.
I don't think it's a project for somebody, but anyway, it's mining data.
Okay.
Well, I don't know, yeah. But anyway, the interesting thing about it is we look at this as, brilliant in its conceptualization. It is totally anonymous, so you can do transactions without it being identified who is actually being involved in the transaction. And we look at it as being a wonderful tool of speculation, an interesting tool for investment rather than really a good currency, although it is being used as a currency.
Okay.
So there's a lot of controversy about it.
Yeah, there was a dust-up not long ago about it. And it's like, I don't know, the perception I have, and I haven't watched it as closely mm-hmm. as I'm sure you have, but it kind of went down in a ball of flames, or is it still works?
Oh, no. It's rocking high. I think okay. You could buy bitcoins for $19 way back like 2 years ago, and things like almost $200 per bitcoin at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and there's other forms of that. There's Litecoin, there's PP coin, and, there's a number of different, decentralized peer-to-peer currencies. And there is some controversy. I believe the United States Department of Treasury has sort of stepped in and wants to know what's going on there.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. So, but, it's not, we would say, the best form of currency because we believe, for a complementary currency to exist, we're not talking about getting rid of the current system. Of dollars or euros or yen. What we are saying is that, if communities are formulating, creating their own currencies, the number one, that they be transparent.
Sure.
So you actually know who's involved.
Who's controlling the money supply?
Well, the money gets created at the time of an agreement. So it's not like a fiat currency like the dollar that
okay.
gets printed. And that, they have governance system, systems. There's a number of...
A lot of safeguards need to be in place.
A lot of safeguards, and that's for a well-designed currency. Yeah.
I was reading, I was actually looking at some travel plans and taking some time off, and I'm looking at different destinations as I'm doing a little research. I'm surprised, I have to confess for my listeners, I'm surprised at a number of countries that actually use the dollar. I mean,
yes.
as their currency, and they're not printing it.
Yes. I think in Iraq, for example, their dinar went to absolute chicken scratch
yeah.
at one stage. Yes. It is. Well, you know, a dollar historically has been the global reference currency.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, of course, you know, the moving forward and some of what you're sharing, Jackie, is that I hear what you're saying is there's room enough for not just the euro and the dollar and the yen and any other the major currencies. There's room for some of these what we would call alternative currencies or agreed upon currencies.
Complementary, because alternative means you're going to replace something,
okay.
And we're never talking about replacing. But your listeners actually use complementary currencies already. Just think about frequent flyer miles.
That's a good point. Membership reward points, all of that.
Absolutely. I mean, it's dollar denominated, but the interesting point of frequent flyer miles is, you know, it was started off as a marketing gimmick by United. Not it wasn't United Airlines, it was American Airlines about 40 years ago, in order to get loyalty, and they, you know, in order to get that loyalty, they had, you know, spare capacity in their airplane, so that was their unused resource. And what it has all proven to us is it is possible to cheaply and accurately process billions and billions of frequent flyer miles, and you can change people's behavior.
Well, what's interesting, Jackie, though, is that some of these, like the Bitcoin, you talked about it, there's a dollar equivalent. Unless you really look at, okay, well, it would cost me this much, there's not like a dollar equivalent with frequent flyer points. It's not really looked at that way. It's really the translation or exchange rate, if you will, is looked at it in terms of where can I fly?
Yes,
domestic or international with that number of points.
Yes, but things are assessed in dollars. But there are currencies, like for example, there's a wonderful currency in Japan that for taking care of people in their dotage, in their aging, whereby I go down the next door to my next door neighbor, I might help her read the newspaper, write a letter, bring her shopping, you know, whatever. And for every hour I spend helping her out, I get an electronic credit in my Furi Aikipu account, which means caring friendship account.
Wow.
Which I can save up to when I need help.
Oh, that's so cool.
And I can transfer over to another part of Japan for somebody to come in and look after my mom. So what's really interesting about this is that the elderly love this because they can stay in their own homes for longer. They actually are bridging the generational gaps, which is something we experience very much here in the United States and in the developed world. Is, you know, an older woman is making friends with a younger person in the community, and you know, the relationships build, and also the person is keeping an eye on that older person, you know, to make sure that the handrail in the bathroom hasn't come loose. Now, should that person need, you know, dialysis, obviously they go to the hospital, but the Japanese government does not have to pay for this program that allows Japanese elderly to stay and live in their homes for longer for dignity, with dignity. They don't have to be institutionalized early because there isn't somebody just to keep an eye on them.
Very interesting. Jackie Dunn is our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, author, currency expert, and globally aware, as you can hear. Her book is Rethinking Money, How New Currencies Turn Scarcity into Prosperity. Quick break, we'll be right back.
Did you know living longer could be the death of your retirement? According to the U.S. Census Bureau, babies born today can expect to live until an average age of 78. Whether you're retiring today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, you must ask yourself, will your retirement plan go the distance? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we are back with Jackie Dunn, and I feel like I'm doing kind of a world travel here on our interview. That's fascinating, Jackie. Jackie Dunn, you know, there's so much to this. So moving forward, there are these complementary currency opportunities. And speak to us a little bit, because I know you write extensively about this in your book, Rethinking Money. How can this be? It's not just saying, hey, we've got these other currencies to use. The one you gave about the caring for the elderly in Japan. Mm-hmm. What are some of the ways that these complementary currencies can, you know, you talk about maybe different projects that can be accomplished, the cleaning up of areas. What are some of the other things that, you know, where we've had trouble getting people all to work together, you know, maybe pollution or some of the things that cross borders, you know, are there opportunities for this to have an impact in those areas as well?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, because one of the problems, that makes our system not only not sustainable, but also there's not a possibility for ecological sustainability is you know, the fact that we have money that has positive interest rates.
Mm.
And, you know, it pushes for, you know, the concentration of wealth, which, you know, people can't help being wealthy. You know, it's just a function of interest. You know, I find it very interesting when people get really upset. Oh, those terrible people, that 1%, mm-hmm. They can't help it. It's just the functionality of money that causes the concentration of wealth. If you were to take all the money in the world and give it to a whole slew of other people that don't have a penny, over time there would be another sucking sound of money from the lower people with less income to the higher. It's just the functional dynamics of interest, and also, you know, the perpetual booms and busts of the business cycle is due to positive interest rates, and we know the devastating effect that has on our cities, on our communities, is that, you know, people get the pink slips.
And those cycles tend to create more and more concentrations, because the ones that are best financially can withstand, and they are able to recover.
Yes, and then furthermore, you know, if you're a CEO of a company, there is a constant pressure, you know, for constant growth, continual growth, and it's this cycle, this competitive run we're constantly on, and it's impossible to do, you know, without having devastating effects for, you know, how we treat the resources of this planet. So we need other currencies that don't have an interest rate, which a lot of the complementary currencies don't have any interest rates. Or they may have a negative interest rate, which means that it is just a pure medium of exchange, because I have this local currency, for example, and it will expire by a certain date. It's not used for savings or anything else. It's used purely as a medium of exchange. And so
that's a little bit like a gift card, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and so, you know, gee whiz, it's the end of the month, and
I better spend it.
Better bring the family out to out for a meal at the local restaurant, you know?
I like that.
Yeah.
Jackie, I'm going to grab one more quick break here. Jackie Dunn is our guest, author, currency expert. Her book is Rethinking Money, How New Currencies Turn Scarcity into Prosperity, available on Amazon.com. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about how commodities fit into this, because that's another popular subject. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Jackie Dunn. Her book is Rethinking Money, How New Currencies Turn Scarcity into Prosperity. And I sure hope that that is something that continues to develop and happen. I mentioned before the break, commodities, Jackie. How does that, juxtapose that for our listeners, how that fits in with this new view, or this developing view of complementary currencies? Because for a lot of folks, and I've talked to people that are experts on gold and other precious metals, even diamonds, and you know, if you want to travel around the world with a couple million dollars in your pocket, you could do it with these very exotic diamonds that have a recognized value, these red diamonds or other colored diamonds. So how does that fit in with all this?
Well, you can have currencies that are actually backed by something. And until, you know, very recently here in the United States, you know, until Nixon repealed the gold standard, you know, there was some fig leaf of a gold standard backing the U.S. dollar.
Right.
So, you know, we're looking at currencies that would be backed by a basket of commodities. My colleague, Bernard Liotard, he has a long background in designing the euro and several other things around the world, is that, you know, to actually have a trade reference currency, which is no country's currency, it's a B2B business currency, and is actually backed by a basket of commodities. So therefore, you actually know the value of the currency just by looking up the Financial Times, the Wall Street Journal each morning, and look at the composition of the basket, and you can work out what the value of the currency is. So there's a lot of very interesting thinking at the moment about having a currency that is actually backed by something, and rather than a fiat currency, something that's just created out of nothing, which is the case with all our currencies all around the world, all our national currencies all around the world.
Yes, not just the United States, it's all of the national currencies.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And everything.
Very interesting. You know, it really gets the mind working here to say, okay, well, if you try to return to something like that, I mean, I think maybe the horse is out of the bond or the genie's out of the bottle. Mm-hmm. I mean, to try to come up with something to back the amount of fiat currency out there would be pretty extraordinary.
Yes, but I think it is doable.
Okay.
I think, you know, some of the eggheads are dusting off some old proposals from the 1930s.
Interesting.
Yeah, called the Chicago Plan, which is all about taking the issuance of money from the private banking sector and giving it to the government. And if you think about it, if, you know, governments were to do that, they would actually, you know, basically overnight resolve their deficit problem, because they're borrowing from banks in order to get the money to run the country. So there's some really interesting ideas out there, and I would not be surprised if we start seeing some innovation here.
Well, I got to tell you, it's a breath of fresh air, Jackie, to get some positive take on this, because a lot of folks really are wringing their hands, and I think they're watching just simply too much television. But
well, read my book instead.
I'm going to tell people to do that. Rethinking Money, How New Currencies Turn Scarcity into Prosperity. You know, the thing I sometimes tell folks when I talk to them, they say, well, David, what do you think about, you know, I get the question a lot, what do you think about buying gold? And I say, you know what? If you want to buy some gold, buy some gold. If you're a coin collector, buy gold, fine.
Yeah.
If you want to just have some gold on hand, that lets you sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say no, but think about what you're really trying to do. Is it because if, you know, we have Armageddon, mm-hmm. or we have a meltdown of our financial system, if that's what you're really worried about, then you mm-hmm. better have some alternative or some other complementary ways of exchanging with other people. And will gold do that? And that's the question I always ask them, because there's a lot of other things that people will want if things are really bad.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting thing. But you know what the real wealth is? Is each other.
Mm.
It really is. It's one another. Our own ingenuity, our own brilliance. I mean, everybody has a spark of something fantastic in all of them. And I think we get together within our communities and see how we can help one another, and maybe then design some currencies that will link the unused resources with the unmet needs, maybe an educational currency, an elderly care currency, whatever. You know, we can actually potentially get through maybe a sticky time, but we won't do it individually by, you know, boarding ourselves up and locking ourselves into our houses. You know, it's getting out there and saying, gee whiz, what can I do to help? And we have the capability and the technology to create currencies. And I think we can, who better to address a neighborhood issue or a community issue than the actual members of the community itself?
So the answers aren't locked in a bulletproof safe. They are in the community.
They are in the community, and they're in the hearts and minds of every individual.
Amen to that. Jackie Dunn, ladies and gentlemen, has been our guest today, author, currency expert. Her book is Rethinking Money, How New Currencies Turn Scarcity into Prosperity. Thank you very much, Jackie, for joining us on the program.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you, David.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.